today we're talking about land navigation. And you're like, land navigation? Why are we talking about land navigation? So everyone pull out their compass, pull out your map. We're going to learn how to plot eight-digit grids. We're going to learn how to shoot azimuths. We're going to learn how to terrain associate. Okay? Because we all need to know how to get from point A to point B the old-fashioned way. You know, we are too reliant upon GPSs and technology. I still keep a paper map in the car. I know I'm getting old, so I might be dating myself here, but we still keep a paper map in our car because once upon a time, we're on this trip out west to see national parks, and the GPS took us right to the back end of a national park into the middle of like a desert where there was nothing anywhere. Yes, we were at the national park, but we were at the end of a dirt road into nothing. You know, that's because we learned you can't just trust a GPS. You need to know where you are on the map, and you need to plan your route. Back in the day, you know, I remember driving through San Francisco when Kimberly and I lived out that way, and we would have the map, you know, out of San Francisco, and I'd be driving, and there's lots of hills, and we're driving in my pickup truck, so it's a stick shift on those hills, and traffic is nuts because people are crazy everywhere, but that was the way we did it. Sometimes driving even with a map here, clutch, you know. So now we just have our phones and we trust them. When's the last time you made sure before you left you knew where you were starting and you knew where you were going? And you made sure you had a basic idea. So if in the middle of your trip, your GPS was like, get off here in the middle of St. Louis. And we're just like, what? That's a true story. It's like, why would we get off here? Now, another thing about land navigation we're going to talk about is when I was in the military, I mean, as an infantry soldier, it was drilled into us. Land navigation during the day, land navigation at night, and those are two different skills. And let me tell you something about planning your route and doing land navigation. I have marks on my body to this day, dents in my shins from learning how to do land navigation at night. And it can be dangerous business, just like going through life. How many people have marks on their souls from treacherous route planning and execution in life? You know, planning your route and then trusting the Lord to direct your steps is a significant part of the Christian life, of the godly life, because you need to know where you are and you need to know where you're going. Because if you don't know where you're trying to get to in life, you may end up taking some wrong paths, making some wrong decisions. The final thing I want to share in introduction is when I was in the Ranger School way back, 1997, really dating myself now, and going through that elite military training, we had to know where we were on the map at all times, because at any time, you know, we could be ambushed, you could receive contact, you know, anything could happen. And whether you were a rifleman, like a private in that moment in the back, droning through hours and days of movements without good sleep, without adequate food and nutrition, and your brain was no longer functioning properly, at any given moment, they could stop the patrol, stop the movement, go to you and say, you're now in charge, here's your new mission. So you had to know exactly where you were, because they wouldn't tell you where you were. You were just, all of a sudden, you went from being somebody who was just following orders, mindlessly droning along, to all of a sudden someone in charge of the whole mission, and you had to know where you were, where you were going, and be able to plot your course, and be able to get there and execute. And if you weren't able to do that, you failed and you were dropped. You had to know where you were. So you had to have what's called situational awareness. So we're going to learn about that today from Proverbs 7. So open up your scriptures to Proverbs 7. This is our battle drill for today. As good soldiers of Christ Jesus, we're going to learn how to plan our routes. We got to know where we are and where we're going. And we got to know how to get there and how to stay on path. Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to read the whole thing because it's good to read the whole chapter. It's not a long one. But I'm only going to really be focusing on the first three verses. But I believe personally you need to hear the whole proverb. Otherwise, you lose the context. You lose the depth. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. That's our battle drill for today. Okay, that's how we're going to learn to plan our route, those first three verses. Now listen to the context, because this is real. Once again, the Proverbs are very real and visceral on purpose, because you have to be able to do this in real life with real temptations. Verse 4. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. Passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. Who's the her here? It's the adulteress. Now remember, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when the concept of an adulteress comes in, especially in Proverbs, it's also talking about idolatry, spiritual idolatry. So idolatry is spiritual adultery. When you break your covenant with God and are not living faithfully to him, then you are breaking faith. You are breaking covenant. You're committing adultery to God. And God is a jealous God, all right? And the concept of the whole reason he talks about foreigner here is because they were not supposed to worship foreign gods. They were only supposed to worship Yahweh according to the authorized way he's given us in his word, okay? Now, here we go. We're going to keep going. We're talking about this young man lacking sense. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house. So he's off route. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. Do I need to explain this to you? No, keep going. All right. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool. Until an arrow pierces through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, that's the grave, descending to the chambers of death. O Father, your word is eternal and everlasting. We are the flowers that fade. We are the grass that withers. But your will for our lives, Lord, is unceasing and eternal. Help us, Lord God, to walk in the way of Jesus Christ so that we may know what it is to go from earth to heaven, just as Jesus came from heaven to earth to show us the way. Help us to stay true to you, to stay on course, and to walk in the way that glorifies your name. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So it's pretty obvious, hopefully, especially in those last couple of verses. I chose to use the first three verses, even though, honestly, I think verse 25 is probably the clearest verse I could have used for planning your route, but it's in the negative. And I'm a positive kind of guy. I like to teach in the positive. I don't like to teach in the negative. Okay, we could have just focused on do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, do not stray into her paths, talking about idolatry, talking about the ways of false worship. But you know what? I feel like if I did that, then church would be known for all the things you can't do and shouldn't do, instead of being about the place where we know the authentic, the real way to live. So planning your route is about knowing the way of Jesus. But planning your route can also be a very negative message about here's all the things you shouldn't do and here are all the traps you should avoid. Okay? And this chapter really emphasizes that. So that's how I got to this place of teaching you on planning your route. Because we could have made it a very negative, heavy message, and we could have talked a lot about temptation and sin and all these things that take us off path. But I chose instead to say, if you know Jesus, and if you are walking in his spirit, and you keep your eyes on him, and you hide his word in your heart, then you can know the real thing. And then when you have to make a choice between the real thing and the not real thing, the counterfeit, you'll choose the real over the counterfeit. Does that make sense? If you know the promises of God and you meditate upon the promises of God, if you know the character of God and you meditate upon the character of God, then you will walk in the ways of God. But if all you ever do is think humdrum negative thoughts, there's a good chance you're giving yourself over to evil because all you're thinking about is evil. You need to dwell upon the right ways, the honorable ways, the ways that are praiseworthy. Because if you feed your mind on negativity, you become a negative person. So let's look at how we train this. A significant part, so this is the second action step. We know the field manual of a good soldier is the field manual. The second step is you got to train according to the field manual. You don't just read the Bible and then make it up as you go after that. You apply now this scripture. And this scripture is, child of God, keep the Bible, keep my words. Treasure the Bible, my commandments within you. Hide them in your heart so that you will not sin against them. That's what that means. Keep my commandment and live. Joshua 1:8 says, when we meditate upon God's word day and night, all our ways will prosper. Okay? Keep them as the apple of your eye, the priority, your plumb line, your decision making. Bind them on your fingers. Keep the map right here. Keep the map as you're driving through the city and you are lost and your GPS has betrayed you. You pull out that map and you find where you are and where you're going, and you keep that close. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So, how do we do that? So, a significant part of learning how to do land navigation is learning how to read a map. So, the Bible is both your field manual and it's your map. It will tell you where you are. And not only in the history of humanity, we're in the age of the church, we're in the age of Pentecost, okay? We're not in the old covenant, we're in the new covenant, but we're also not yet in the millennial reign or the eternal reign of God. We are right here in the age of grace where our job is to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord has not returned yet. He is going to return soon. Our hope is in his return, which means there is still evil in the world. It has been defeated, but people will still die of cancer. People will still have heart attacks. There will still be war and rumors of wars. Creation is still in the birth pangs. You cannot expect life to be new heaven and new earth. That's not where we are. But that's where we're going. We are going towards the hope of the new heaven, new earth, and we are to build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We are to be signposts. That's our purpose. That's our mission. But if you think you're in the old covenant and you can lose the spirit and you can lose your salvation, if you think you're over here in the new heaven, new earth, and everything's hunky-dory and you're trying to mentally figure all that out, then you're not in the right place. We're in the new covenant, where God has sealed his children with the Holy Spirit. And we can know his word because Jesus came as the living word, and we can walk according to him, and he doesn't leave us as orphans. Rather, he gives us his word, he gives us his spirit so we can walk in his ways. You've got to learn how to read the map. You've got to learn how to plot points, find yourself on the map. You've got to learn how to train, associate. You've got to be able to look around you and say, hey, this is where I am right now. This is what's going on right now. Have eyes to see. If on the map you have a bunch of contour lines that are real close to each other, that means steep, cliff. If you're going through a steep period of life, Well, it's because it said you're going to hit a steep place on the map. There will be tribulations. Jesus said you're going to hit places where you're going to have a hard uphill climb, where it's hard to take your next step, where you stop looking at the top of the hill and all you do is look at the next tree and say, oh Lord, help me make it to the next tree because I don't even think I can take another step. And you run out of water and you're like, Lord, you are water of life. Help me find a water source. You got to learn how to use a compass to set an azimuth, which is the direction of travel between two points. You got to know the direction you're going, and you got to learn to keep your pace, a pace count. So often when people are trying to plan big trips, they don't take into account how far they're trying to go. And then let me put this in backpacking terms for you. When you're planning a backcountry trip, some of you know I like to do that. I've done that for short periods of time and extended periods of time. And it's not just about where you're going from point A to B. It's knowing what the terrain is like. It's knowing what your water sources along the way are. It's knowing how much you can carry. Because if you carry too heavy of a load, and you also got to pay attention to the weather. Because there's different seasons. You can carry more in some seasons than you can carry in others. And in some seasons, you have to carry more anyways. Like winter. When it's winter out, it's going to be heavier. It's true in life. So let me make these connections for you. The Bible. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 106 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And then verse 106 says, I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. The Bible, God's word, will illumine your steps along the way. It not only helps us plot our course so we know where we are and where we're going, but it helps us know how to take the right step along the right path. There are times when I've been out doing land navigation where you get to an intersection and you don't know which trail you're supposed to take. So what you got to do is you got to pull out your compass. You got to look on the map and you see, well, this trail goes this way and that trail goes that way. And if there's not good signage, then you got to look on the map and say, well, one's going west and one's going east, which takes me to the direction I'm going. And then you got to pull out your compass and you got to find that. And if you don't know, if you don't have a compass, then you got to know where the sun is rising and where the sun's setting. And so you can find your direction by the sun. See, I'm just taking principles from the natural and trying to bring them into the everyday spiritual, emotional way of life. The second thing, as I just said, Jesus is our compass. Jesus is our true north. Colossians 3:17 says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's your true north. If you don't know which direction to go, you look to Jesus and you do it for him. You do it all for him. He is your true north. And I'm going to explain what that means here in a couple of minutes. And the third, terrain association. If the Bible is our map and Jesus is our compass, our true north, then the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us terrain associate. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the paraclete, the advocate, the guide. If you're going to go backcountry fishing in Canada, you would hire a guide, correct? You wouldn't just buy airplane tickets and buy a map of the area and then just go to any lake you chose. No, you would hire a local guide who knows the best fishing spots in that area. Because in that specific time, it wouldn't be enough just to have a map and a compass. Because you might get to a lake, but it might not be a lake that's a good fishing lake. You're going there for a purpose. You're living life for a purpose. So don't just go around life thinking, well, I've got the Bible and I've got Jesus, so I'm good. No, Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. Jesus said that I will give you the Spirit of truth, so, and he will remind you of everything I've taught you. Let's look at John 16:13. That's exactly the verse there. But when he, so let me read this to you from the Bible. This is Jesus' words, John 16:13. And by the way, if you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, John 14-16, mwah, Jesus is clear teaching on the Holy Spirit for anyone who's confused. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Man, that's good. Jesus said in John 14:26, a bonus passage for you today, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit there. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When you have the Holy Spirit sitting with you, and your GPS is misfiring, and you don't have the map with you, because I would say a majority of people in this room under the age of 50 probably do not have a map, a printed map in their car. Maybe even some of you over 50 don't. I would encourage you to get one if you go on a road trip. I don't make any money off that deal, by the way. But let's say you find yourself on a road trip and you didn't bring a map because you've just gotten lazy and trust your phone to be infallible, which it's not. And you're somewhere where terrain association doesn't work because you have no idea where you are. Guess what? In the spiritual, you have the Holy Spirit who knows the area. And you can pray and say, Holy Spirit, I am lost, and somewhere along the route of my life, I've taken a wrong turn, and I find myself in a situation that seems not according to your will. And I don't know where my Bible is because I haven't looked at it in a long time. Jesus, I'm not even quite sure where we are right now with each other, but I need help. I need someone to help me because I feel really lost and really broken. And sometimes, just like if you know, you're not going to do this, but if you ran your fingers up and down my shin, they're dented in some places. Night land nav. Yeah. But a lot of us have that. When we're kids, we're learning to walk, we run into stuff, you know. So, hey, you might have some scars, you might have some bumps, you might not know where you and Jesus are. You might even not know where to get a Bible. By the way, take the one in the pew if you don't know where your Bible is. We want you to have a Bible. You need a map. And I really want you to have an active awareness of the Holy Spirit at work in you. I don't want you to leave today without responding to this message and saying, Jesus, I need you. And Holy Spirit, I need you to be my guide. I need you to be with me on this life journey. Help me. And that takes us to action step 3. Throughout life and the journey of getting from point A to B and all the detours along the way, we learn from the Bible that what should take 2 weeks to get from point A to B often takes 40 years, because God isn't just trying to get us from point A to B, he's trying to build our character to reflect that of Jesus Christ so that we trust him and that we love him. So if things are taking longer than you imagined they would take in your life, it's because God cares more about your character and he cares more about your process than you getting to the destination, because the destination has been secured in Christ Jesus for you. So if you feel lost, surrender to him. And he will get you there. Do you know where you're going in your life? Right now, do you know where you're going in your life? Who or what is determining the route? Who or what is determining your route? Your plan? And is it possible that you may be a degree off or a few degrees off on your azimuth so that you think you're heading in the right direction, But over 40 years, one degree off takes you way off course. And do you know how to get back to the right azimuth? And that's why I want to explain to you that Jesus is your true north. Jesus is your true north. Now, let me explain that to you from a research article, because this is a technical term, true north. Okay? And so I'm going to read this to you. This is a reputable source, and it's going to teach you what true north is. The expression true north is based on a fact that navigators and surveyors must deal with every day. A magnetic compass is not a terribly reliable instrument. And you're like, huh, wait, listen. A magnetic compass points towards the magnetic North Pole. Let me digress real quick. In the Army, we had to learn something called GMLARS. GMLARS. That means when you plot an 8-digit grid from point A and an 8-digit grid from point B, and you draw that line and you use it and you get your azimuth, grid to magnetic, left, add, right, subtract. GMLARS. When you move a grid, an azimuth, from grid to magnetic, what you're going to use on your compass, you have to change it according to the declination angle of that area of the world based upon where true north and magnetic north are, which, by the way, you're about to learn, change. So that's why they have to update maps. Because if you're going to set an azimuth for your compass, you always have to adjust it based upon the declination angle of true north and magnetic north. Don't be bored. This is important. It may save your life out in the wilderness someday if your plane goes down. A magnetic compass points toward the magnetic North Pole, which is not the same as north or the geographic North Pole. The difference between magnetic north and true north is currently a matter of several hundred miles. But it changes. This is the research article. It changes due to the fact that the magnetic North Pole drifts several miles a year. The Earth produces a magnetic field. You're in science class. Isn't this great? The places where the lines of magnetic induction converge, sorry about the fancy words, this is science, are called the magnetic poles. The location of the magnetic North Pole changes over time. In contrast, true north is a fixed spot on the globe. The true North Pole is found at the conjunction of the lines of longitude. When's the last time you've used the word longitude? Longitude and latitude. The point at which the Earth's axis exits the globe. Here we go. Magnetic north varies position from year to year. True north is unchanging. Because the needle of a magnetic compass points towards the magnetic North Pole, not the geographic North Pole, it is not entirely accurate. It may give a general idea of where north is, especially in the middle latitudes, but it can be wildly unreliable in the regions closer to the poles, varying by 20 to 60 degrees. So, Mike, if you go out on a fishing trip in northern Canada and your small plane goes down, make sure you know this information, all right? Because it is so important, especially when you go closer to the poles. The difference between magnetic north and true north is called declination. I've already told you that. And find true north, we must perform some mathematical calculations. I taught you about GMLARS. The deviation is caused when nearby metallic objects or electrical equipment influence the compass needle. Deviation is especially a problem inside ships and airplanes and in areas containing a lot of metal ore. Like declination, deviation must be overcome, usually by means of auxiliary magnets, in order to find true north. Whew! Science class over. But I needed you to hear that. If you're going to learn to do land navigation. In the military, this stuff was taught over and over and over and over again, because if I don't adjust for the declination angle between true north and magnetic north, I will never get to the place that my commander ordered me to go, because I am letting other forces determine my azimuth instead of staying on an accurate course. Therefore, in conclusion, when you hear it said that Jesus is our true north, you know now that means Jesus is the constant, unchanging source of truth and life by which you can determine the direction of your life. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 to 9 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. That's verse 9. Do not be carried away. Do not be taken off course by varied and strange teachings. And Jesus concludes his Sermon on the Mount with this very powerful illustration. And in this illustration, Jesus is saying he's true north. You know this illustration. I'm just putting it in a new light for you. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, and this is Jesus, so let me open up the word to you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, who planned his route according to true north. Because the rock doesn't shift. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. True north doesn't change. It's not affected by local influences. It's not affected by changes of the magnetics of the earth or by the hormones of your body. Jesus continues. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act to them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And that takes us to our final action step in the conclusion of today's sermon. Friends, we must live on mission by keeping Jesus Christ as the true north of our lives. Just as true north is a precise direction that transcends, it's greater than geography, greater than locality, greater than the lesser poles that affect your compass. I don't know what you're using as a compass in your life. I pray to God it's not your emotions or your common sense. I pray it's God's word. Unchanging, infallible, inerrant, authoritative for every area of your life. Jesus Christ provides direction and purpose for your life that transcends your geographical location, your nationality, your political party. God help us. I pray that Jesus transcends that and that and anything else you want to put in those categories. Jesus Christ, as true north, transcends your local customs. And Jesus Christ, as true north, transcends, is greater than the lesser poles of your heart and mind. Just like a magnetic compass, as you walk by a hill that has lots of ore in it, man, that compass, you're going to get a bad angle. You're going to be off because it was pulled. It was attracted to. Have you ever felt pulled off course by something that was really attractive? A job offer, a financial incentive, a person, a cause? Never put down the cross to carry a cause. And here's the best way to know whether or not that person should be someone you're walking with. Run really fast towards Jesus. Look to your left and to your right. See who's keeping up with you. If they're keeping up with you, say you want to run together, do a little trail running together. And after a while, they're still with you. You want to keep doing this? Because you don't want your relationships to take you a degree off. You want Jesus to be your true north. Is your life off course? Do you feel lost? Do you need a course correction or an altogether new route for your life? Then come to Jesus, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he will not only help you set your route, but in partnership with the Holy Spirit, he'll help you walk that route every step of the way. So today, I'm inviting you and I'm offering you a map that can be trusted. I'm offering you a compass that does not deviate. And I'm offering you a traveling companion who will stay with you every step of the way, and no matter what, he will never leave you nor forsake you. The altar is open. The stairs are open. We're going to have a response song. And if you're even just a degree off, I'm going to invite you to come. Whether you respond in place or you respond at the altar or you respond at lunch or you keep on responding every minute of every day for the rest of your life, which is my hope and my greatest prayer for you, is I pray that you turn in that old map for a new one. You turn in that magnetic compass that keeps getting pulled, and you turn it in for Jesus, the true north. And you invite the Holy Spirit to be fully active and alert within you so that you have a guide who will never abandon you. He'll keep you on path. For we may make our plans, but it's the Lord who directs our steps. Let us respond. Father, we come to you. And we thank you that you are sovereign and holy, that your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have put our thoughts and our ways before you. Forgive us. Now we repent of our sin, of our haughtiness and pride, of our stubbornness and refusal to bow our knees to you and your ways for our lives. And we ask you, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, to be our true north. We put our hope and our faith in you, Jesus, and we put our trust in the Word of God. And we say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, baptize me, immerse me, saturate me, so I never know another minute of my life apart from you. Come, respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. God is waiting for you to respond. God is eager and desiring to pour out to you favor upon favor and to help you walk in the path that he has willed for your life, to bring glory to him and good for you. Come, let us respond now. In Jesus' name, amen.